Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother 4 Blockumentary. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and we are here to talk about week 7 of Big Brother 4. Of course, joining me is Mary. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to talk about this week. I don't know about you, but for me, this week was one that has stuck in my memory so much. There were certain things from the first couple weeks, you know, the lettuce bikinis, all that, that I think are pretty iconic. But there are some other really iconic Big Brother 4 moments in this week. And some of them I felt like they were even going to come sooner. Like, where is it? Where's the clothes burning? So I'm excited to get into some of this.
Yeah, this is really the week that makes this season what it is, and probably is the start of what might redeem this season in a lot of people's eyes. It's pretty rare that the women are able to come together, and that there's a lot of women in the end game who have a good chance to win. And this is a big season for it.
Yeah, we talked a lot last week about how it was, you know, the Allison versus June show of the two of them being the dirty, rotten floaters at the bottom of the barrel and no one else likes them and all of that. I think this week shows that even if you're not a fan of the way that they're playing the game, they are both playing hard, and they're all trying here at the end. And you would think, like, oh, there's only a few people left. Of course, everyone's trying. Not in every season of Big Brother. So I found that to be pretty refreshing. Even someone like Jack, who's doesn't really know what is actually going on, at least he's actively trying to play the game and has a plan.
Yeah, he's trying. He's trying. We start off episode 21 with some eviction fallout. We hear that, you know, Justin had to go. Jack tells us he's been trying to make it happen for a long time, and it had to happen eventually. G gave Robert a vote just so Justin could go out like the champ he is. And Allie is very upset. She's now stuck in this house. She doesn't even know these people. She knew Justin. She doesn't know these people. They just met them like, 40 some days ago. And so she's crying. And June says, Allie's a whack job. Her tears are insincere, and they probably weren't even salty because they came from a little tube in her eye that she controls with her index finger.
Yeah, I loved that. I love Allison and June just constantly trashing each other on the crying factor here. This is not a great look for Allie. Like, I don't know. I assume that some of her tears, and June's implying this here, are fake and are for show and are maybe trying to give this sort of innocent vibe or pity me vibe, kind of. But you can't be both. You can either be the hardcore playa that she's trying to be and, you know, doing all of that. And you can either do that, or you can be this sweet, innocent, crying girl. And it's kind of crazy to see her try to do both, because I think it's like the worst of both worlds in that realm. I understand the sentiment that she did, you know, it's rare to have someone in the house that you know, and she's now one of the few people left who doesn't have a partner that they actually knew from outside the game besides Jack. And so I know that can be tricky, but especially given the jump that she's going to make by the end of this week, it's not great. It's not a great look for her to show all this weakness, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. And finally, we hear from Jack that, listen, guys, there hasn't been anyone ever as good as Justin was in competitions. He is the greatest of all time.
Can you give me a quick count? How many competitions did Justin actually win?
One?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, well, from Jack's perspective.
Probably a couple. I mean, that's, but he came in second a lot.
Right. Well, and look, we talked about it. Justin was good at the competitions. He seemed to be a pretty good overall, you know, all-around player. But especially coming from Jack, who can't win anything. Like, anybody's a better competitor than Jack here.
G is the best competitor of the season, hands down.
Yeah.
He gave up two vetoes. He intentionally threw two vetoes that he would have won, and still, I think, comes out on top in terms of most competitions won.
Now, compared to everyone else in Big Brother 2 and Big Brother 3, is Justin a better overall threat and competitor?
No.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's not even close.
No.
This is like when you get people in, you know, Big Brother 19, 20, 21 being like, this is the best player of all time. It's like, guys, stop. Have you even seen all the seasons? Stop.
Exactly.
Stop. This person is not the best player of all time. Just mm-hmm. drop it.
So Jack is, he's sick. He did so poorly in the HOH competition. He feels so bad that he let Erica down, and G won. And he says, the dream team is still running. I did it for Justin.
Yeah, that's nice that he did this all for Justin, I guess. I don't know. If I was voted out of the house, even if I was in a tight alliance, I don't want to hear that someone is doing something for me. I feel like I'm tapped out of it at that point.
You just don't understand the bond that they shared down in the trenches of Big Brother 4.
Yeah.
You'll never understand. It's a brotherhood.
I don't love that we've switched to the dream team. I guess we have to do that because there's no longer three of them.
No, it's just G calling it the dream team. The others are still calling them the Stooges.
All right, well, that's good. G does say that a lot in these next couple episodes, though.
Yeah.
The dream team.
He gets his HOH room. So he got Richard Marks for, I mean, do you know who Richard Marks is?
I didn't. I was hoping you did, so I didn't research it. But based on June's reaction, sounds like it's a kind of love songs or something.
Yeah, that was my assumption. Let's see. Richard Marks. Pop rock. I'm seeing nothing stands out.
Like,
here.
Would that be the same thing as is someone getting like Buble or something?
I don't even know what that is.
Okay. Wow. Well,
I don't know why you expected me to know this one.
I don't know, because it's not that I expected you to know it. I expected you to Google it so that I didn't have to.
Hold on. I'm gonna listen to some of it.
Okay.
He wrote that song. He did that song Right Here Waiting. That very, very, I guess, sappy.
Yeah, I mean,
piano tinkly.
Everything in G's room is very romantic, and he gets a little glass heart from his girlfriend and a picture of her. And, you know, I mean, it's sweet. Okay.
Look. G is an international player.
Uh-huh.
He can listen to Richard Marks if he wants.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not going to judge, because I thought a lot about what kind of music I would want in the Big Brother house. And just based on my normal music taste, I don't even think people would be able to make fun of me, because they would be like, what is this? What are we listening to? What is this choice?
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. You know, electro swings where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Well, Allie is still sad. She's worried. She's worried that, you know, expect the unexpected. She doesn't like the unexpected. She wants the expected.
Yeah. Erica's excited about this. Mm-hmm. And my favorite part, which I made a gif of this because it's really great, is there's a diary room with Jack who's like, expect the unexpected. I don't have a clue. You got me. And it just zooms in really close on his face. It's a really great moment. So I'll be posting
got
that.
Him.
Yeah. And this is like, I'm trying to be clear about this whole Allie thing with the crying and with the freaking out. And it's not that I don't think that like people on this show or women on this show can't be emotional. I think that's fine. I just think that it's good to to pick a lane and kind of go with it, because you're not, if everyone already thinks that you're the floater, you're not giving either side any kind of confidence that you're sticking with them when you act all week like, oh, I'm fine, this is going to be great, I don't even like Justin. And then the second he leaves, you break down. It's just not the strongest kind of like image to portray here, which is, it's fine. I don't know. Multifaceted. Because Allie, she complains and cries to Erica about all this and how she thinks the guys are going to come after her, and because Jack and G have been so close. And I feel like almost anyone could see at this point that G's first instinct would be to put up Jack and Erica. And so it's just like, you know, Erica's having to console her, knowing herself that she's the one in danger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Allie is now feeling like she wants Erica in the final three with her in June, she says. And so Erica is saying, well, what I want to have an alliance with everybody. She wants to be a floater.
Right. Well, you know, final six, perfect time to enact that strategy, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. She's finally jumping on board.
Yeah. Yeah. Just figuring out a couple steps behind what everyone else in the house has already figured out.
Allie really could have gone full hipster here. Like, I was doing it before it was cool, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think we kind of knew this going in, but that's something else that, like, you think of season four as being the season where June masters the floating strategy. But Allie really does kind of do that as well and start the strategy. I think that Allie has a point here of wanting Erica to be in the final three with her and June. I think if Allie feels like her and June are closer to each other, they'll probably take each other to the end anyway. They might be able to beat Erica. And more so, just Allie is continuing her tirade against Jack and how she doesn't trust him.
Yeah, and we're going to get a little more context for this decision a bit later on. But we see that Allie is making promises to the Stooges. I'm on board with you. I'm really with you. So this happens. These next two episodes, 21 and 22, 21 and 22, there's a lot of like weirdness here because of the order of events that happens, where the veto gets played first and all of that. This conversation, basically G wins HOH and then immediately does like one-on-ones with everyone. He has a pretty good idea of what he's going to do right away. The first person he talks to is Allie here. And he makes a deal with her. He says, okay, I'm putting up Erica and Jack. He says, I won't put you up if you promise me that you will vote Erica out of the game. And she says, okay. I promise we're good. And then he continues, these conversations, but we don't get back to them in the episode until later. So this is what he does here. And he says, then he says in the diary room on the show, like, if all goes well, Allie will be the next target. Which I think was them trying to imply that, like, cause there was a little bit about like, oh, will we get Allie on the block? Can we get Allie out of the game? But in reality, I would imagine this diary room is in reference to the following week, because G's plan was, I want to take Erica out this week, then Allie next week. And then we'll go to the final four with June and Jack. That was what G wanted, to do here.
Yeah. That makes the most sense, based on what we see in the episodes here. What do you think in general of the switching in format of this week? Because things are going to get kind of out of order here.
It ultimately isn't going to end up mattering. But it's a twist. It's not my favorite twist. This was 17 years ago. So, I'm not like up in arms about it. It didn't really do anything. Didn't really change any outcomes. I think at the end of the day, it's like whatever, but, it's not something that I would want them to do again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can get into it more when we talk about the veto. But we have a couple other segments before that point on the show, kind of random things. Robert touches his nose a lot. Mm-hmm. And wiggles his ears, and Jack says it shouts lack of confidence. So
yeah, this it feels like, so we did the blockumentaries on Big Brother 2, Big Brother 3, and one of the things that we talked about for those seasons was like, oh man, back in the day they used to have these whole big montages and segments just based around character building. Like, this is who this person is. Let's do a big segment on them. And you'd get big segments. And we've gotten that here and there this season. But this almost feels like the petering out of these style of segments where, like, you know, we... and I've noticed it, especially in the notes too. Like, I'm in the previous seasons, I was used to writing down like, okay, here it is. Here's Robert's segment. We're going to find out more about Robert and all the weird things he does. And everybody's going to comment and it's going to be like a, you know, 2 minute long segment. But instead it's like, Robert has nervous tics. He can't sit still. Yeah. I get really nervous. I touch my nose a lot. Yeah. He touches his nose a lot. Moving on to Jack, like, it's like they're almost perfunctory at this point and they don't have a lot of like energy here. And I, based on my memory alone, I feel like by the time Big Brother 5 comes around, there are even fewer of these that that we get in the episodes. And I think certainly by Big Brother 7, you know, All Stars, we're getting even less of them, you know, to the point where now like any sort of character building is like a snap moment here or there where a funny thing happens, or it's like a prank segment, you know, like, you know, this seems to be the start of where these start to peter out.
Yeah. And maybe not the nose wiggling one, but I'd still prefer some of these types of segments to just pranks or just montages of everybody makes weird faces, or, you know, I can't remember who it was. Was it Angela? Angela smells everyone or something.
Exactly. That sort
right.
of thing.
Yeah. Like that kind of thing, I think it kind of has no purpose. But some of the ones that we saw earlier in this season, I do think are more interesting, even if it's just characters narrating. Like I know it's silly, but the Jack one doing his, you know, here's how I interpret everyone in the house based on FBI names or whatever. Like, I prefer to see a person in the house doing that kind of narrative and breaking down each person, or June saying, I'm going to talk about how everyone looks, you know, physically and go through that. I'd prefer that rather than just the show doing it in a segment that's a montage of random clips of lots of people. So I still think there's a way, and I definitely think that we'll see in later seasons that this sticks around a little bit, just in terms of getting more from the house guests themselves on this commentary, which I like, because I feel like we've agreed that it makes these people stick in our minds more. You have these segments, and even if it's like a man troll thing, you remember Dana so much more than you would another house guest who was voted out that early in a later season. So I still think it's a fine editing style, but yeah, we don't need a nose touching necessarily.
I mean, honestly, I think one of the reasons why it probably starts to see less of it is just that it takes more work. Like, you know, having to find clips of the things that back up what you're saying, having to like create those montages is a lot more difficult than just sort of, you know, quickly running through a narrative in somewhat chronological order.
Well, sure. I mean, we wouldn't want to put any effort into the show.
Yeah. But honestly, I think that's something that is worth tracking along the seasons, because I think that the same thing goes for diary room sessions. I think the reason why we get more quote unquote scripted diary room sessions nowadays is because it's a lot easier to do. If you just let them come in and just talk and rattle things off and just, you know, talk to their heart's desire, you then need to look through that big pile of footage of them talking and find the things that are worth showing on the show. Whereas if you come in and you ask them pointed questions, you tell them, can you say this in this way? Can you tell me this? Then they have the exact lines that they know that they'll need. And it's a lot easier and quicker and more efficient to put it all together. And so I think that what something worth tracking is the degradation of quality in terms of the effort that's being put into the edited versions of the show. So we also hear about Jack, who's big on the JFK assassination, which is, it was funny to get to this part because I follow Jack on Twitter, and I saw recently that he's tweeting about this, like a few days ago.
Well, he's, you know, JFK was his hero.
Still very much on his mind. JFK was his hero. And I think the funniest part about this for me is that the way he describes this story feels like it would fit so perfectly into a conspiracy theorist sort of narrative, where he's like, you know, at first I thought there's no way that they could have acted, that he could have acted alone. There must be some sort of conspiracy. So then I joined the FBI and I saw what they were doing. And now, I was fully convinced. And let me tell you guys, he acted alone. I swear it definitely, he acted like a conspiracy theorist would see this and be like, they got to him. He knew the truth. He went to work for them and they convinced him to start parroting the narrative.
Yeah, the segment really does come across as Jack being like, yep, guys, trust me. Don't question me. He did it alone. I believe that Oswald acted alone. Every time he said it, it sounded like he was lying. Like not even convincingly at all. Yeah,
there you go.
I think nowadays, if they had the same segment, that they would have also made it a little bit, even add some more music to make it seem like it's a conspiracy theory. So.
Oh, yeah. So we got an announcement that there will be some extra evictions. Some other people will be leaving the house.
Oh, my gosh.
Cuff and Link, the tortoises.
Yeah. Yeah, the turtles are going. Everyone's sad except Allison, who thinks they're disgusting.
Yes, but she is sad that the desert room is closing.
Right.
Which, yeah. Again, effort. Less effort if the room is closing, right?
Right. Yeah, don't have to keep editing Erica and Jack separately. Yeah, Erica and Jack in particular are upset because this was their sanctuary. This was the place they could have privacy and talk strategy for hours and hours endlessly. Probably a good thing. For Jack and Erica, probably would have helped them if this room had been closed weeks before, that they would have been forced to socialize with some other people. But yep.
Well,
so,
Erica doesn't have anything to hide. You know that even though they're always being watched, that she's pretty much okay with it. June also doesn't mind. Whatever. I'm fine with it.
Erica she's an open and honest person, doesn't have anything to hide except for her boobs.
Yeah. But it makes Allie feel sick.
Yeah, well, I am with Allie on this one. She's worried about her naked body being on the internet, and you know, probably a lot of people. G's worried about them catching him rolling over in his sleep and farting. So,
which fair?
Yeah, that would also be, I can imagine, not very comfortable. So yeah. There's that. Now, my question with June though, is she says she doesn't care if people see her. That's fine, but still, why are you outside boxing in a towel?
Yeah, that confused me.
Like, it just seems like you're asking for trouble. This is like the third time we've mentioned June participating in activities while wearing outfits that do not seem suited.
I mean, you know, maybe now that she's got a change in wardrobe, which we'll talk about, maybe less of an issue. We get back to the campaigning. So we're back tonight to the night that G won the HOH. He's back to the one-on-one conversations. He has a conversation with Erica. They say they respect each other. And he basically says, yeah, you know, you and Jack going to end up on the block. You're like, you're nominating me again. Like, I'm leaning in that direction. You know, Allie and June, if one of you win the veto, then, you know, Allie or June could go up there. They're just floaters. You and Jack are strong together. Jack is going to make a pitch that, you know, oh, well, you know, you and me and, Erica and June should be the final four. But G's like, what, I'm going to put Allie and Robert up? Like, no. And then, June comes in and she pitches that, you should go after Allie. And she says to us that this is just to throw him off the scent of their alliance, that she knows that he's actually going to be going after Erica. And so, just by saying you should go after Allie, he's not going to suspect that they're secretly working together. This is all pretty accurate. That G does confirm to June in this conversation that Erica is his target and that he wants Allie out next week instead. And he says to her, to June, if the veto is used, I'm going to have to put you up on the block because I had to make a deal with Allie to secure her vote for Erica to leave. And so that's why later June is saying I could end up on the block if the veto is used.
Yeah, and we talked about this some last week about what these people should be doing in a situation where there's two pairs and then a couple of floaters. It's interesting that Jack doesn't, you know, he's trying to save himself. He's being told that him and Erica are going to go on the block. Instead of pitching to go after Allie and Robert, why don't you just make the jump there, you know, last ditch effort and say, okay, well, let's pair up and take out the middlemen of Allie and June. I mean, even if G is close to June, he's outwardly much more close with Robert. And so, yeah, it seems a little laughable that that would be something that, that G would ever consider putting Robert up.
Yeah. And, you know, it's again, like June, Jack and Erica feel very comfortable with June at this point. They feel like she's pretty firmly on their side. And so they don't want to throw her under the bus either, really. And so it's, they do get to this situation here. Jack also is going to start to feel pretty confident that, and we'll find out this later as well, that, that he's the one that's going to end up staying this week because he knows that G is targeting Erica. Now, the real problem here for G is that, very outwardly putting your target on one person and trying to reel in the other person when you don't have control of the votes is not the move. But we'll talk about that as we go.
Well, this is a complete recreation of the first time that G was HOH and some of the mistakes that he was making there with the exact same people.
Yeah, and that irony does not escape the Allie, June, and Erica portion of the house, believe me.
Yeah.
Julie is here, and she says, okay, here's the unexpected. They're going to be competing for veto before the nominations. In order to win, they will have to inflict pain and suffering on their fellow house guests. The remaining, the veto winner will remain secret until the nominations happen, which, let's be honest, it was never going to remain a secret. So they call them into the diary room one at a time, and they start to, you know, Julie starts to proposition them. And so June lets us know that she doesn't want anybody winning the veto because she doesn't want to go up on the block. And so they start asking the questions. Julie says, okay, are you willing to take the veto if it means that everybody else will be on peanut butter and jelly for the rest of the game?
Yeah, over a month left. And nobody takes this offer.
Nobody bites. Nobody bites.
And if you've seen, I mean, they've done a similar thing in season two, similar type of deal here. And if you've seen from that, you know that there's probably the pot's going to probably get a little sweeter here as we go.
Exactly. Now, this is interesting. And, you know, you have Erica and Jack both on the block, or going to be on the block. They know they're going to go on the block. But at this point in time, Jack thinks he'll be safe because he mistakenly believes that if G wants him to stay, then he will stay. And then you have Erica, who I think should have less confidence than Jack, even though she is more likely to stay at this point, because at this point in the game that she has not solidified votes to stay. She's had a couple of conversations where Allie has kind of said, like, yeah, I've got your back, but she does not know for sure that she's staying at this point, but also willing to turn this down. I imagine that a lot of this has to do with, like you said, like they know that there are better offers coming, but that also means that it opens up the door for you to be the person that takes the worst offer and get the veto. And when your life is on the line in the game, I'm honestly pretty shocked that people turned it down as much as they did.
Yeah, I think part of it, especially for Jack, also has to do with that Robert has assured him in particular that he's going to be safe. And I think Jack knows that Robert would struggle the most with this peanut butter and jelly thing anyway. So that would be kind of a slap in the face.
Yeah, but it's like, this is the final six. You have the veto. You guarantee yourself into the final five. That's so close.
I think it's tricky because when they did this in season two, was it Bunky, I think, who ended up taking the offer? I'm trying to remember who it was. That one was for money.
It's always the person that outwardly is the person that you wouldn't think would take it. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Bunky.
I'm pretty sure it was Bunky. And if you remember from that, it was not well received. People were not happy, and pretty sure he went out fairly soon after that. So I think it's so tricky. I think if you're completely by yourself and you have no outs, no belief that you could survive this week, then sure, go for it. So if I were Jack or Erica and I know that I'm going up, then I would probably go for it. But anyone else, I don't blame them for not taking it. I think that it's insane that that G's going to be the one to end up taking this. I also think that the twist of doing this before nominations is the part that falls flat. I almost think that if they had done it after nominations, maybe Jack or Erica would have gone for it, because then it's a complete done deal. I like the setup of the competition. I really like these kind of things where you have to inflict punishment on everyone else and where you have to make this decision by yourself, knowing that other people could be making it as well. I really like this style of thing, and I wish they did this more often, but I think it does kind of fall flat that they're doing it before the nominations.
Yeah, I mean, I said this, you know, in Big Brother 2 and Big Brother 3. I feel like this is a great thing that they've done. It almost always turns out well. I don't know why they stopped doing it. I think they should bring it back. This is a fun thing to do. Even if it doesn't cause drama, it's still fun to watch. Like, in my opinion, way more fun to watch than some random veto competition to see, like, oh, who's going to accept the offer and why. And it adds this element of like who did it. It's very funny. It's like who knows how to game the system the best, who's willing to punish others or whatever the most. I just think in general it's a good way to go, and they should do it more often. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show.
So everyone declines, and Julie says, okay, new deal, only 2 weeks of peanut butter and jelly. Little bit more decision making. Erica and June seem to be the two that are sort of most on the fence here, but they all decline too.
Yeah, Julie's like really trying hard. Like, are you sure, Allie? Don't you think that people are going to put you on the block? June, are you sure? Aren't you worried that you're going to go on the block if you don't take this offer? And June's like, I don't want to have the whole house hate me, though.
Yeah. June and Allison are both kind of like, I just don't want to. I don't want to deal with people on peanut butter and jelly. I don't want anyone to hate me. Robert is the one who's pretty quick to always decline it just because he really hates this peanut butter and jelly thing. Final offer, 1 week of PB&J. Everyone else still declines, except for G, who takes the offer. And G, I'm going to say first strike for this week. Here's your first strike.
Yeah, I wouldn't say this is the first strike. I'd say this is...
well, what? I mean, I'm not going to blame him for winning HOH.
No, but like the entire way he sets up the week is going to, you know, cause some failure here. Basically, like, you know, what he decides to do and how he decides to go about it is going to lead to failure, whether or not he wins the veto. But winning the veto with that in mind is like, okay, now you're adding on top of your mistake, extra mistakes in order to solidify your mistake. Like, he's solidifying the nominations that will end up not going his way, and causing putting a bigger target on his back in terms of winning another thing and pissing off the house at the same time by putting them on peanut butter and jelly. It's like worst of all worlds.
It's like if you have some nominations and you really want a particular one of these two people, Erica, to go home, then a good way to get people to want to flip on you is to try and hammer that in. You know, it's like you tell a kid, don't touch it, don't touch it, don't touch it. Then they're going to want to touch it. You keep telling the whole house, it's got to be Erica, it's got to be Erica, it's got to be Erica. They're going to want to vote out Jack just to spite you at this point. So, yeah, it's not good. Not good that he does it this way. There's really no point in him winning. It's the final six. If you're trying to get to the end, Geez thinks that he can beat almost anyone there, so really, it's not going to be the worst thing in the world if one of those two people is not going to end up being on the block.
And Robert is pissed. He's, yeah. I can't believe it. And G's like, it couldn't have been me, right? It couldn't have been. And they all immediately figure out that it takes 2 seconds for them to figure out it was G. G definitely did it. And Robert is like, oh, just G, just put me up. Just put me on the block. I can't take this anymore. I'm ready to go. I can't eat any more peanut butter and jelly. He's like, I know that June did this to us. And Allie's like, I didn't care. Of course he's going to do what he's going to do. But when Robert finds out, like, oh, it was you, G? Oh, well, okay. Good move then. But I'm sure that June, that terrible June, I'm sure she did something wrong.
Yeah. Well, Allie actually comes out and talks to Robert and is like, Robert, look, we needed the veto as a team. This isn't the worst thing in the world. And so she does a little bit of work there to smooth over this hurt feelings. But Robert, at first, he's also just so convinced that whoever accepted it for 2 or 4 weeks and not just one. And she's like, no, I only did one, right? And it's so easy to figure it out because only one person accepted it after all these offers. In the past, it's been like multiple people have accepted at different levels.
Well, the idea that it was like, oh, I thought it was 2 weeks. I thought it was the whole game. Like, no, he was just mad that somebody took any offer. And then when he found out that like nobody else was as mad as him and that it was his ally that did it, he was like, okay, well, actually, the only reason I was mad is because I thought it was something else, but I guess I'm not mad. But he was definitely still mad.
He keeps saying over and over, and they show this clip a couple times, or they show him saying the same thing a couple times. He first says, I wouldn't even do it for 50 grand. Mm. And then he later says, I mean, I'd understand if someone did it for 10 or 20 grand. And then he says again, I wouldn't even do it for 50 grand. Yeah. Which one is it? Yeah. I don't know if he knows the money value there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so June is going to come out and talk and sort of, I think she thinks she's doing it nicely, but G is going to interpret it as her sort of calling him out in front of a bunch of other people because she says, you know, other people are just annoyed because you're already HOH and that's the way they're viewing it this way. And so G is going to claim in response to that he's not going to eat in solidarity with the rest of it, with everyone else.
Yeah, well, this blends right into episode 22, where we pick up right where we left off, where G is still mad at June for calling him out publicly. And he's saying like, she's flown under the radar this whole game, so it's not cool to make me out to be a bigger target like this. And so she goes and talks to him in the HOH room and she says, I did it to defend you, G. You just don't get it. And I think this is June BSing both G and us by saying that this was supposed to be for G's benefit. And she's like, they were talking about you behind your back, so I wanted to bring it all, you know, to light, you know, so you could defend yourself. Like, no, you weren't, James.
Yeah, not at all. Also, G, it's a little bit annoying hearing G say, like, look, I accept the consequences of my actions that people are going to be upset, but it's not cool that you called me out and you were upset about it.
Well, I think like he expected like that she would be on his side. Like she's, you know, she's somebody that's supposed to be his ally.
Well, still, I don't know. Just not a good look that he's doing that. And then so he's trying to sort of like hype himself up saying, you know, I'm a big target. I've won 2 HOHs. I needed this. It's the final six. I needed to start playing big. And like he has a point there. But again, to get to the end, you need to not just crush everyone in your path to where they just want to get you out just because they're mad.
Yeah, we get to the nomination segment here. G is pretending like, oh, I might nominate June because I can't believe she called me. Like, we know you're not going to, G. He keeps mentioning, this is like the fifth time he mentions, well, being the first person to win two HOHs this season. He's so proud of this fact. I can tell you on the feeds, he talks about it even more often. He keeps talking about like how I am the first Korean on the show. I guess he forgot about June. He says, I'm definitely the first Korean to win two HOHs in one season. Like he's trying to find like the most amount of titles that he can give himself. He's so proud of the fact that he's won two HOHs. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, he's a real Daenerys Targaryen.
So we get to the nomination ceremony. Robert, Ali, and June are safe. He says, Erica and Jack, I respect you both. This is a game move. Pretty straightforward here. Jack says he's taken his marching orders from Justin. Now, this is something that on the feeds they were saying this is what Justin wanted us to do. So that's why Jack says this. Jack and Erica both say at the same time, we're not going to be campaigning against the other one, just for ourselves.
Right, because that's gotten so well in the past.
Yeah.
And that's definitely not a thing that's going to get misconstrued. Oh, yeah. Well.
G says, yeah. Erica's the bigger threat than Jack is, so Erica needs to go.
Yeah, fair, I guess. I mean, certainly more of a threat challenge-wise.
And so now we're going to mess with the timeline a little bit again here. Ali is going to have a conversation with Erica saying like, hey, you're good. Don't worry about it. And they talk about how G needs to leave before Robert now. So this is something interesting. On the feeds, it's actually June that pushes this narrative the most. For a long time, Ali and Erica are going to be thinking Robert still needs to go before June or before G. That Robert is the sneakier one. He's the smarter one. He's more dangerous. Sure, G is winning things, but Robert is the one that needs to go. June is actually the one that pushes. No, G needs to go. He's winning things. It's dangerous. He put us all on peanut butter and jelly. G should be the person that goes first. And eventually the others come around on the idea and they think that G is the one that needs to go first. And so they're talking about this here. And Erica mentions, or sorry, Ali mentions, she's like, I don't know. I don't think I can trust June. And Erica says, I think we can trust June. I trust June. I think the girls should stick together. And this is really going to, Erica and Ali spend a lot of time bonding and sort of forging a relationship that, that had until this point not been, very strong, on the feeds this whole week.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I always just find these conversations to feel so fake between them. I don't, maybe it's just because also the edit we get on the show is that everything that Ali says to anyone, she runs off and tells to other people as well.
Ali like really bought in hard to Erica. Like she was fully on board. She was ready to do this. I think another important thing to note again from last week, something that hasn't really made it to the show in the way that it was impacting things on the feeds is that what we talked about last week where, it just became kind of common knowledge that Ali can't win the game, that anybody will beat her in the final two. And so instead of looking at her as a threat, people started to look at her as, well, actually, what if, how about, hey, Ali, you're my buddy. Hey, yeah, we want to work with you, Ali. You know, I want to get to the end with you. Because everybody started to look at her and be like, I want to get to the final two with Ali. And so Erica is certainly thinking this. And so she is, you know, working on Ali and trying to save herself. Of course, Ali is the swing vote this week so that it ties into that. So not only is Ali the swing vote, but she's also the person that everybody starts to want to bring to the final two with them. And so you can sort of see why now the Stooges are fighting for Ali's attention. Erica's fighting for Ali's attention and Ali gets to sit in the confessional and be like, I'm just telling everyone what they want to hear. But Ali is definitely on the side of Erica all week long. She is going to have this conversation with Erica. Erica suggests that the girls work together. That's because Erica is actually closer to June than she is to Allie. And I think that's going to remain the case even after the week ends. But Allie feels like they've bonded enough that she is going to approach June and suggest, hey, what if we kept what if we kept Erica instead of Jack? I think that we can trust Erica more than Jack. She says she's worried that Jack has an alliance with G. This goes back to last week when G and Jack had a very long conversation that was very public outside and everybody was worried about it. Allie is still concerned that that might be a thing. And she's also concerned that if he's been throwing competitions, then she doesn't want him on her team because he's too dangerous. And if he hasn't been throwing competitions, that means he sucks and she doesn't want him on her team because he sucks and he's not going to pull his weight.
Yeah. Maybe it's just because I've been thinking about this knowing that Allie is going to lose the game. I think she had a chance. Like, a lot of the stuff that she's done in this game would set her up to be more of a threat and someone that you wouldn't want to go to the end with because you might not be able to beat. I think, and I think she's going to continue to make moves that put her in that position. I think there's a way to be the swing vote and come out looking like a threat as opposed to a goat. And I think that maybe that's just why I'm critical on her when I see some of the mistakes that she's making in seeming more naive or emotional, is just because she's the one who's feeding into everyone's perception of her. At the same time, I feel like you can't, Robert and G can't necessarily be as upset with her because they already knew that the reason they wanted to trust her and to take her and keep her from being voted out was because that they don't think that she can win anyway.
Well, I think it's actually the opposite. The less they respected her in the first place, the more likely they are to be mad at her when she doesn't do their bidding, which is what's going to happen.
Right, right. Well, yes. And so I'm saying, like, I feel like there was a way that she somehow could have been in this position and turned it to her benefit and made it look like it was a power move she made as opposed to just like foiling the better players' plans from their perspective. I'm not exactly sure what that is. And I think a lot of that is going to have to do with the fact that she is so it's not just flip-floppy in terms of sides, but you look at June and for the most point, she has been flipping sides and feeding information, but she's very even tempered and she's very, like the same sort of base level all game in terms of the way she talks to everyone, where Allie definitely is more fiery, sort of in both highs and lows. And maybe that's part of it. I'm just trying to think of more differences between the two of them and why this is going to work out so much better for June than it will with Allie.
I think a big part of it at the end of the day is that June just always had a better social game than Allie did. Even if Allie was more overtly strategic at times, June was also very overtly strategic at times. And she was able to maintain her relationships better. She didn't have to go as hard as Allie did when it came to betraying people. Like when you think about when June switches sides, the first time she does it with Dana. She follows Dana. People are mad at June, but they're more mad at Dana. Then she flips back to Erica and Jack when Erica wins HOH, but you know, they're and that makes them mad at June, but they're still dealing with Erica and they're mad at Erica and the fact that Erica's coming after them. And she kind of gets to like get that, you know, nullified a little bit. And you look at Allie switching sides. It's more that like, you know, Allie gets Nathan to use the veto on her in a way that really screws over Erica and Jack. Then she, you know, flips over to the other side and when Erica wins and like, oh, how, you know, how could she do that? And then she flips back and she pisses off Robert and G here in a way where like she is the main cause of their you know, their frustrations, and so like they're very angry at both her and June, but the way that she operates in the game is like she has She frustrates people more often. She goes further. Like June is a little less deceptive than Allie is. Like Allie will sell you her soul and then turn around and stab you in the heart. June will be like, you know, hey, I'm with you for sure. Actually, I guess I wasn't. It's the same thing, but it's delivered a little bit differently. And just overall, I think it's something that it's hard to pinpoint like one easy to digest thing, because it's just to do with the social game over the course of the game. And if you did want to look at like, why did it happen? Why does June end up with more respect than Allie? The week to look at on the feeds is week 6, when they have this conversation in the house. And a large part of it has to do with June winning a competition, that veto competition, which was big for her. And just having better relationships with Erica and Jack, who were more influential when it came to the Allie versus June discussion. And then when Erica and Jack were talking about this possibility, they were pushing for June. The consensus comes around June. And then when this happens in week 6, that the consensus is they do this sort of mental, you know, gymnastics, or this sort of like pretend situation of, if June and Allie are in the final 2, who wins? They say June does. Okay, now that has been decided in that moment, they know that Allie can't beat anyone, and that's going to change their perception of Allie from that point forward. Everybody in the game now sees Allie as somebody that can't win the game, and so anything that she does in the game is not going to win as much respect as somebody like June, who can at least beat one person, because it's like, well, of course she can survive this week. Of course she can flip her vote whenever she wants. Of course she's being courted by every player in the game. It's because she sucks and they all want to take her to the end. So like the things that she is doing are they're going to be not as impressive, because she has this added advantage of, well, we all agreed that she's not going to win. So that's why she's able to do it.
It's like the thing of if you're sort of a base level of like you were saying with June, you know, she's got some allies and then she betrays them and it's like, oh, sorry. You know, I guess they did. But with Allie, it's more like, I am so with you. I'm so with you that I'm making out with you and cuddling with you and promising you the world. Oh, then I stabbed you in the back. And then I'm going to really, really obviously flip to the side and I'm going to make out with a different person and I'm going to promise you the world. Oh, I'm going to stab you. It's like her swings are bigger and more dramatic and her promises are bigger and more dramatic and just everything she does. So with June, even though she's making similar moves, you're right, she's hiding behind other people who are making people more upset, and sometimes that person is Allie as well.
And I think another, probably like, again, I think like the reason I'd be hesitant to even say this is because it's so easy to digest that it's probably the only point people are going to take from this. But if you wanted to boil it down to like something easy like that, then it's like June owns it more than Allie does. Right.
Yes.
And it comes down to what you were saying earlier about Allie crying when Justin leaves. Like Allie does own it at times, and then at other times acts like it was not on purpose. Think of it like how Allie treats the boyfriend situation. At times she's like, deal with it, Donnie. And at other times she's like, I'm so sorry, Donnie. I never meant it to be this way. And that really hurts you. You need to have a consistent message, right?
Right.
And June has a much more consistent message. She is always going to own what she does in the house. And if she betrays somebody, she's going to be like, well, yeah. So Allie and June, they have this conversation. June tells us in the diary room that, you know, it means a lot to her, actually, that Allie came to her about like who they should vote out. It means that Allie does actually trust her. And so they do have this conversation on the feeds. They talk about maybe we should actually vote to get rid of Jack. But the next morning they agree, actually, we shouldn't go against what G and Robert want, because then they're going to come after us next. So let's put a pin in that one. Instead, let's try to convince G and Robert, after the veto is used or not used, that Jack is the person that should go. Let's try to scare them into thinking that Jack is a bigger threat and that Jack is coming for them. And then if we trick them into wanting Jack to go, then we don't have to piss them off. They also, in this conversation, agree for the first time, something that is very true and that they both know, because again, this has been accepted in the house, that they're the only two people that they have a shot at beating in the final two. Allie knows that the only person she has a shot against is June, which is true. And June knows that the only person she has a shot against is Allie, which is true. And this is a very, very strong motivator to bond these two together. And I think one of the main reasons why this alliance ends up working without any real trust is because they're doing it out of necessity. And again, this comes back to last week when it just became, these discussions happened for basically no reason, and it became common knowledge that these two people are not going to have a good chance to beat anybody, and they basically need to be in the end together. Now, this was already kind of common knowledge that they talk about jury votes all the time, the Stooges in particular, that they will always vote for each other, and they were always threatening their jury votes against anybody that did anything against them. And so jury votes became such a topic of conversation that the people who had the least chance of getting jury votes knew for sure that their motivation had to be to work together. And I think the focus on jury votes actually made it more likely that the people less likely to receive jury votes made it to the end. And so they really shot themselves in the foot here, I think, especially in week six when they talk about this. Now, Allie and June are very firm on this idea of they need to be in the end together. And so that's really going to bond them together. They talk about, they eventually start talking about the idea, well, what if we just blindside Robert and G with the vote? We could just do that. And so they start talking, that this kind of evolves over the course of the week from, should we do it? Nah, we can't piss them off, to maybe we can convince them, to we don't need to convince them, let's just blindside them, to Robert kind of figuring out, wait a minute, something's going on. He's still trash talking June any chance he gets, but he eventually realizes that like Allie has been telling June about it, and he starts to worry about the women coming together, but then Allie, you know, kind of talks him out of it, and there's a bit of back and forth between Allie and Robert all week long that we'll talk about as we go. But this is where they're at right now. They're really starting to bond together, and they want to keep Erica, and they're pretty much willing to just do it regardless of what G and Robert think at some point in the week.
Right. This is a big mistake that a lot of people make in this season, in week six, like you were saying, basically everyone except for June and Allison talking about these jury votes and reminding each other, letting it slip to Allie and June that they can only beat each other, is not what you want to do if you also want to go up against Allie or June. We see people in later seasons, particularly someone like Derek, do a better job of this when they, you need to convince other people that they have a chance with you almost. Mm-hmm. So that they'll want to go to the end with you. Even if you know that they can't beat you, you don't want them to know that. And you certainly don't want two people in the house to know that the only chance they have is to go together, because then they're just going to make that bond. And we get a lot this week and other weeks of June and Allison talking about how they don't necessarily trust or like each other. But it is that they're here to play. And it's lucky for us as viewers that we get to see these two people also be two people who are very self-interested and motivated by winning the game. If one of the two of them was Jack, for example, maybe Jack would say, okay, well, I know I can't win against anyone except for so-and-so, but I still rather would go to the end with Erica because I'd rather her win than someone else. You know, mm-hmm. they don't have any of that type of motivation, which is interesting. It's also something I think that's good, especially early on in the show, that the pair of Allison and June getting to the end together, the way they've played the game, their dynamic is so different than the other people we've seen get to the end so far, that it's good to set up that you can win this game and you can get to the end in a different fashion. It doesn't always need to be a particular dynamic at the end.
Yes. So we're going to have a food competition, and Marcellus is here to set up some gnomes. He's hosting via the loudspeaker.
Yeah, he's not there in person. I found this to be really weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I guess we're like one step away from having a host actually in the backyard.
It's weird.
Them.
Like in Big Brother 2, they had like four Survivor players just join them for a while. Like, I don't know why Marcellus can't be. Maybe Marcellus was like, no, I'm not going to degrade myself enough to have to be in the house with them. Sorry.
Well, he degraded himself enough to run around hiding behind plants with the gnomes.
I don't know.
I mean, it's silly. Like, they've done this before, and you could make an argument like, oh, well, maybe they really don't want the people in the house to interact with someone outside the house. They're going to take June outside the house in like 2 seconds mm-hmm. and actually take her away to be around a bunch of other people. This is also, I don't know, after Big Brother 3, this might even be a bigger Marcellus season than Big Brother 3 is. Like, in terms of his seasons, I mean, is this a bigger Marcellus season than season 7? Just this is now the second challenge dedicated to him.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. It's a lot. From a purely positive perspective, it might be.
Maybe.
It's crazy. Anyway, so we all remember Boo the gnome, right?
Yes. And so, they're going to have to get a bunch of gnomes and smash them. And the winner of the competition gets one McDonald's meal a day for 5 days, and they get to share it with one person of their choice each day. And this like really further negates the punishment, it seems like, that this really should have been a like band-aid over you have to eat peanut butter and jelly for 1 week, which wasn't that hard. Like, we didn't talk about it at the time, but like Robert was so pissed. It's 1 week of like, get over it. And now you're getting a chance to have McDonald's and people get to share. And like, this is really, I think should have been a white flag of like, oh, okay, here's some food, guys. But G did not see it that way.
No. G feels the need to win. Look, again, we had this segment of him hyping himself up over how he's a threat anyway, and he might as well, you know, show these people who's boss or whatever. Again, like, huge strike against G. You should not even be trying. You shouldn't even be trying right now. You can eat. No one else can. You can eat whatever you want this week. And, like, I get it. I love a nice McDonald's when you, like, really have that craving. I went on a run yesterday, and someone was grilling hamburgers in their backyard, and I almost cried because I haven't been able to eat, like, restaurant food for months, and it was very sad for me. So I get it, but gee, like, read the room.
Yeah,
this is really bad for you.
Jack has a good quote here. He says, where else do they give you a hammer and say, pound the stew out of them? That's why he was going ham.
I liked Marcellus's quote when he was introducing this, saying that the three house guests in the jury, Dana, cute little Nathan, and Justin, have put black tickets in a few of the gnomes.
Maybe that's why Marcellus wasn't allowed to be in person. Maybe they couldn't trust him to not be super biased.
Maybe that's definitely possible. Yeah. So everyone ends up getting the black powder, and so they get out. Robert, then June, then Allie, then Erica. So it's just Jack versus G, and yeah, G wins, and it's.
So this is, I actually loved this from Allie, because G pauses before he wins. He gets the final thing and he's like, wait, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe I should give it to Jack. I can already eat, so maybe I should give this to Jack. And then you see Allie on the sidelines like, no, G, come on, go and win it. This is yours. What are you doing? He's like, all right. And he puts it down and he wins. And then Allie is like, I was really hoping he would win because it puts a bigger target on his back and it pisses people off even more. And I was just like, love it from Allie.
Yeah, it was great. It was really great. Everyone's annoyed. But you know what? He's getting cocky, and the international player, I think, is coming out this week.
Yes. And again, it's like, this is G wins HOH. He wants to get Erica out of the game so bad that he wins the HOH, then he wins the veto, pissing off everybody else, then he wins the food competition, pissing off everybody else, all to keep Jack in the game, because he's later going to say, well, the reason I won is because I wanted Jack to not be able to eat all week so that he wouldn't be sharp for the competition. But Jack's not even going to be in the competition. So all of it was he won 3 competitions, all unnecessary, all worked against his own best interest because it pissed everyone off and made him a bigger target for winning.
Yeah, I mean, he ends up taking Jack to share his first McDonald's meal. And he says, like, I'm giving it to Jack first because I want him to have the longest possible time before the next HOH competition so he can be weak. You're doing too much. You're doing too much here.
Yeah.
It's such a, I mean, it's a great, I think it's a great downfall. The G flubbed HOHs, both of them are some of the best downfall stories in this show. Yeah. It's really great.
Well, Jack has been assured from G, that he will not be leaving. So he feels pretty confident. But Allie and June are going to again agree. G needs to go before Robert. This is again, June convincing them at this point. He's too big of a threat. And Erica says again, the girls need to stick together. We need to do this. This is all just reinforcement of what we've already gotten. And then we get to, it's time to destroy each other's clothes.
I love this. This is one of my favorite things.
I will say, watching this back, I did not remember the details. This feels a bit dated.
It's definitely dated in the structure of the luxury competition.
Yes, and the way that it's... the way that they're dressing and everything that it's called. This is not something that I think anybody would be proud to watch a clip of them acting in this way.
No, Erica's going to go really overboard in the dancing and whatnot as well. I think the idea theme here is like we're sacrificing the clothes. Be all that as it is, I had forgotten some of the details in the structure that they're all just going to throw away one piece of clothing, and they're going to each sort of do the honors of picking one, but it's not like there's a winner. It's not like one person gets off free. And I think that this is a little bit different when they do this again. I believe next season, in season 5, they're going to do this again. But it has a slightly different structure where you can choose if you're going to get rid of your clothing item or not for a price. But the clothing items that they choose here, you got Allison's short shorts, G's orange shorts, which I think are the least talked about. I don't remember anyone saying anything really about those. Jack has some black sweatpants. Robert has red tank top. June, her fishnet top, and Erica, the pink hat. I think the fishnet top and the pink hat are the two that really stick out here in my memory.
Yeah. And so they each have to choose which one they want to burn. And Erica chose G because he pissed her off. June chose Jack because he'd take it the least personally. G chose Robert because he wanted Robert to have the satisfaction of choosing Erica, and then Erica's hat is going to burn, and she says, "It's okay, I've got another one."
yeah. And one part of this that I had actually forgotten was that they do the shopping spree this season right after this, and that's kind of definitely not as bad. Another thing that I love to watch, the shopping spree. I know it's kind of pointless, and I know that it's just giving stuff to the house guests. Basically, any of the luxury things that we get in this show are just kind of like they're not really suffering. It's not like on Survivor where you really feel like you need to see them win a reward. But yeah, shopping spree is kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this before, but I don't care to watch them grab clothes, but I do love the shakeup in terms of wardrobe. You get used to watching these people in the same clothes all the time, and it's nice for them to have a different look toward the end. I think it's just like visually a good thing, and I wish they did this in the modern seasons.
Well, and I don't know about you, but I think for some of it's also this element of watching the show. It's fun to think about, like, oh, it would be so cool if I could do this, if I could have the shopping spree, if I could have my CD in the HOH basket. Like,
it's very wish fulfillment.
Right. You might not care about these particular people and what they're getting, but you definitely do have that element of like, I wish it was me, and what, how would I act if this was my opportunity? So I think it's fine. The weirdest one this time around is that there's like jewelry that is made with everyone's family's faces on it.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird. Kind of think that went nowhere.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get one final little campaign segment where Jack wants to pitch one more time that G use the veto and take out Allie, because he's going to make this pitch to G. Now, ironically, that this is when you see that the guys are in the hot tub and the women are in the house, and the women are worried that Jack is there pitching some kind of guy's alliance. He's actually being super loyal to Erica. But this further solidifies the women, we need to stick together. And then, of course, June is later going to get into G's ear. Not that it was necessary, but. And get into his ear and say, make sure you don't listen to Jack. Jack wants you gone next. You can't believe anything he says to you. And so this is not going to really do anything. We get to the veto meeting, and G is going do not use the power of veto. I did notice though, Jack in the diary room session right before the veto meeting, he was wearing a ridiculous hat.
Yeah, I wrote this down too. I said, what is this red hat that Jack is wearing? I'm pretty sure it's a hat that Erica actually got, because we see her wearing it later. But it is really weird to see Jack looking almost the same in every single diary room, and then all of a sudden he's got a weird hat on.
Just one diary room session, no explanation, and now Jack's out of the game, and it's never addressed.
Yeah, I really should have made a gif of this one, too. It's weird. One more thing about this pitch from Jack. Looking at this from Erica's perspective, if Erica is pretty sure at this point that June and Allison are going to keep her, and she feels like she could probably beat June or Allison at the end of the game, I don't think it benefits, I know she wants Jack in the game, but I don't think it benefits her to have the off chance that, you know, if G uses the veto, he's going to save Jack. He's not going to save Erica. So he would take Jack off the block and put Allison on. I mean, yeah, Erica probably still stays, but that's not actually better for her long term in terms of winning the game.
And I think that's why she doesn't also pitch this idea to G.
Right. Yeah. So that goes well. Veto meeting.
G says he thinks that Allie is the one that will take the dream team to the final three. He hasn't yet been informed that she is not with them. And Allie says, wow, G really should have taken me out because I'm like the plague and I'm going to eliminate both sides.
Yeah, I like that quote. They like that quote so much, they play it immediately at the beginning of the next episode as well.
Yes, we go right into episode 23. I love this intro from Julie where she kind of lays out the vote situation here. She says, so there are six people in the game. There are three votes. We know that Robert wants Erica out. But what will Allie do? We know she's a floater and she has her own agenda. I like that they lay it out like that, because I feel like sometimes I think it's more efficient to lay it out that way instead of just having to listen to the house guest explain it five times, you know?
Right. And I don't need them to say, well, Allie has been on this side and been on this side. Which way will she just say, yeah, she's in the middle. We don't need to hear the pros and cons from each person.
She has a little label above her photo saying, floater.
Yeah, that's her occupation in the house.
Yeah. Well, Erica is still mad at G. She says
everyone's still mad at G.
Yes, it's hard for her to be nominated against Jack. She's not going to campaign against Jack. She's just campaigning for her. And this is when Allie says, I'm telling Erica and June what they want to hear. I'm telling Robert and G what they want to hear. Which really paints her out to be somebody who's playing both sides a lot more than she is at this point, because she's pretty firmly with Erica and June.
Right, definitely. And I think if you're, you know, have any skills at telling if someone is lying or not, if you watch all the scenes where she's talking with the girls versus the ones where she's talking with the guys, I think it's pretty clear which side she's on. She's much more passionate, much more volunteering her own opinions when she's talking with Erica and June. And when she's talking with the guys, it's a lot more just kind of agreeing with what they're saying, which I think is a pretty big tell. That might just be some of the editing, but from my perspective, it seemed like she was definitely more with wanting to keep Erica around.
Yes, but we still get some shade thrown around between these women, where Allie says she doesn't believe Erica's goody two shoes act. Nobody's really that way. And June says that she doesn't trust Allison with anything, not her newborn son, not in a room alone with her man, not anything.
Allie says about Erica that you can't be beautiful, smart, and sweet at the same time. And I resent that. So I don't know about that, Allie.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Julie's going to talk with the house guests. She recovered a piece of June's top from the bonfire.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. Talks about G, that his cigarettes have run out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to matter much. he's not gonna be here for that long. And then we're gonna talk with Robert about peanut butter and jelly. Yep. Robert's not happy.
Wouldn't have been his understanding if it was anybody but G.
Right. Yeah.
And Jack says he's gonna miss Erica a lot. Especially because he's the reason she's sitting there. And this ties into, you know, right before the Julie check-in here, that Jack says he feels guilty. It's his fault that Erica is leaving. And this, this definitely plays out on the feeds as well, that, you know, Jack is, talking a lot to Erica about, like, Erica leaving. So on the feeds, we got, like, Erica eventually decides she's definitely blaming, going to vote Jack out. She has a plan that she's going to tell G and Robert that the reason she votes Jack out is because Jack is creepy and he makes inappropriate comments and it creeps her out and she needs him gone. But she eventually decides against that because, he doesn't say anything creepy that she can use. She really wanted him to say something creepy, but it never happened. So she abandons that plan. She instead just starts to really push hard for, like, she tells G and Robert all the time, like, what if I voted to keep Erica? How would you feel about that? No, definitely don't do that. Okay. But Jack is dangerous. No. We want to keep Jack. Okay. What if June voted to keep Jack and I voted to keep Erica? What about that? No. We don't trust June. We need you to vote. She's really going to spend all week long pushing this idea that she wants to vote to keep Erica. And they keep telling her, no, please don't do that. We also get some from June where, she has a conversation with G and she says, okay, G, would you mind if I took out Robert next week for you? You know, you can't beat him. You know, you can't be the one to take him out. I'll be the one to take out Robert for you next week. How would you feel about that? And, G is basically like, yeah, do what you want. You know, it's, I know I can't be the one to do it. And so he says, well, who would you put up? And she says, well, I'd put up Robert and Erica. He's like, Erica? He's like, oh, you know, I mean, Jack, I'd put up Robert and Jack. We're also going to get, Allie is going to, this is why I brought it up with the Jack feeling guilty. Allie makes a final two with Erica. Again, they're bonding a lot this whole week. And so Allie like fully confirms to Erica, you are staying this week. Don't worry about it. We should take each other to the final three with June, and then we'll take each other to the final two. And they both agree on it. And then right after that conversation, Jack goes to Erica and he says, so, Erica, Allie's going to be having a tough conversation with you tomorrow, and she's going to tell you that she's not voting to keep you. You know, it's unfortunate. It sucks. I feel so bad. And Erica's just like, oh, yeah, man, that sucks. That sucks for me. There's a lot of funny little things going on the feeds here.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jack feels guilty that it's his fault. And he's going to be rewarded by leaving himself.
Yes.
No more reason to feel guilty. It is. It's all Jack's fault. You know, you just needed to win bocce ball.
Yeah. But back to the show. We've got something big here.
Yeah, we got a treat.
We're checking
it's been 2 months.
Back in with Donnie, Allie's boyfriend. And he says, Allie has some explaining to do when she gets home.
Yeah, I mean, considering all of the clips that they show and presuming that he has seen all of these clips himself, I'm honestly surprised that he's not just saying, yeah, sorry, I'm dumping her. Like,
I think my favorite part of this is they cut to Allie's parents and they say, yeah, Donnie's not handling it very well. He's immature. It's hard for him. He's not mature enough.
Sorry, what? Like, it's not a mature thing to say, oh, it's totally cool that my girlfriend is making out with
maybe that's what
guys.
They meant. Maybe they meant he's too immature to just leave and know that he shouldn't be in this relationship anymore.
Yeah, I think the mature thing to do would have been, oh my gosh, yeah, I'm breaking up with this girl because she's not only, you know, flirting with her ex-boyfriend, That's one thing. Flirting with your ex-boyfriend who is put in this game in order to cause tension, the season of the exes, I think, honestly, that gives a pass. Allie, flirt all you want with Justin so that you can try to get him on your side and work this twist. There is absolutely zero reason that Allie needed to make out with Nathan and David, especially David when he was going home. That's just hilarious. So her parents are going to say that they think that this relationship will survive Big Brother 4, but they're not sure for how much long after. And I will tell you, exactly long enough to be on one more reality show.
Yeah, they were actually pretty spot on there.
Yeah, I think maybe he is mature. Maybe he's saying, look, I need to stick with this girl. She's lots of drama. She's great TV. See what I can get out of this. And then peace out.
Well, he says the first thing I'll do when she get home, when she gets home, I'm going to scream and yell at her for an hour.
And I think the dot, dot, dot is, and then we're going to make up.
Yeah, he goes, I do still love her. I think our relationship will be strengthened. Like, you know, on the feeds, Allie talks about how Donnie has cheated on her many times. So I wonder how that, I wonder if that is going to, you know, come into play here.
Interesting. So this is some good old fashioned payback.
I don't know if it was intentional payback. No, but I think it's maybe just a part of their relationship.
Okay. Well, you know, do what you got to do. She's passionate. Like you said, highs and lows.
Yeah.
Take what you can get. All right. So Julie's going to talk with G.
Yes.
And G said he had to do what he had to do for the alliance to get him and Robert further. And then he reiterates what we were saying before, his whole thing about he needed to also, on top of everything else, win McDonald's because he wanted Jack to suffer.
Yes.
For next week.
He didn't want him sharp for the competition tonight. And Julie slips up here. She's like, well, that's if he stays.
Right. And they haven't even voted yet.
Yeah. She's like, well, I'm actually expecting the worst, which is for Jack to be leaving and Erica to be staying. And Julie's like, well, we'll see. I think she's like, I messed up. So actually what happened here, June ended up letting G know. She filled him in. The girls are going to vote out Jack. This is going to happen. And G essentially was like, well, okay. So it's going to be the three women against Robert and the HOH. So you guys are definitely going to win that HOH. Am I going to be safe next week? Are you going to keep me safe? And she was like, don't worry about it. Robert's going to be the target. And he's like, okay. As long as Robert's the target, I'm fine. Let's do whatever you want. I'm good. And he does not tell Robert about this. He keeps it to himself. Although he does try to hint to Robert pretty heavily. He never tells Robert that June told him for sure. And as Allie continues to try to convince them to let her vote out Jack, Robert eventually is like, okay, Allie is definitely not with us. And G was like, she's not. I'm telling you, she's not. And he's like, well, that means we're screwed. He's like, yep, we're screwed. Maybe we should. And G was like, we should do something. Like, we should tell Allie that June has been trying to pitch for us to work with her and that we want Allie, that she was trying to get Allie target. Like, we should try to cause some mistrust between them. But Robert was like, I don't know, because he then had another conversation with Allie where Allie eventually was like, okay, you know what? I jumped ahead a little bit. The final conversation they had, Allie was like, please, can I vote to keep Erica? I'm telling you, June is promising she's going to vote out Erica, which means I can vote to keep Erica. And they said, no, like, you have to be either you're with us or you're not. Like, you know, you tell us that you're with us, but the vote is going to show us where you really lie. And Allie is going to leave that conversation and vent to Erica that, they're threatening me. They're threatening me that if I don't vote with them, then they're going to come for me. And then Robert's like, she's definitely not with us. And then Allie's like, okay, I'm just going to pretend I'm with them. So she goes back to Robert and she says, I'm fully with you. I'm on board. I'm going to do what I need to do to show that I'm with you, to prove that I'm with you. And then at that point, Robert's like, okay, we got her. And G's like, I don't think we got her. And he's like, no, we got her. And G's like, no, I think we should do something. I think we should try to break them up. I think we should lie to them, spread some seeds, like do something. And Robert's like, no, we can't touch it. We can't touch it. We're good. If we touch it, we'll mess it up. We got it. And G's like, okay.
You set yourself up really bad when you have such a stake in which person needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't really matter to them Jack versus Erica. I mean, like, it does, because Jack's going to be, would be more inclined to probably work with G than Erica. But if they hadn't been so firm this week, they probably could have worked a little bit on both sides to where it would have been okay with whoever went home. More importantly, and maybe you can speak to this on the feeds, why do they not try to convince June to vote with them?
So they did. That's when they thought that they didn't have Allie. They were like, okay, we need to talk to June. We need to get June on board. But they spent so much time focusing on Allie. And then eventually where they were convinced that they had Allie, they also thought that they had June at various points, but Robert hated June and he hated talking to her. So it was always, G that talked to June, and June was definitely the person who had more control in the situation between herself and G. As I said, like, anytime June talks to G, G is just like, okay, yes, ma'am. I'll let you take out my partner. Just please don't hurt me. There wasn't much control or influence that they could have had there.
Yeah. Oh, well. So sad.
Yes. And so Erica, after hearing that they threatened Allie, goes to Jack and she says, I have something I want to tell you. I'm going to tell you on my way out the door. I'm going to let you know something. And then we're going to find out that what it is.
Yeah, which I'll get to more when we actually get to that. But first, jury house segment.
Well, I also, Julie, one last question from Julie to G. She asks G, do you want to go to the end with Robert? And he says, I do want to go to the final two with Robert, but I think my chances are better against June or Allie. And so, again, I think we see this sort of like, everybody in this house from week six onward, where they were all just tempted by this greed of like, June and Allie are two people that can't win against anybody but each other, and they're just sitting there, ripe for the taking. And everybody's got their eye on them.
Yeah, and I feel like this is kind of, not great for G after all he's been saying all week about the dream team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's always been G. Like, he's like loyal, but not really. He's just, yeah. He just doesn't really have a strong, backbone, I guess, would be the way to say it.
Yeah, kind of. Oh, well. I mean, June really got lucky having G in the house with her.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Then we head to the jury.
Right, so now we have some party time. Nathan's pretending to know how to surf.
He's also grown a terrible goatee.
I don't even know. I don't want to talk about it. It's Marcellus says cute little Nathan.
No longer.
I don't know if you've seen the goatee.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure. So Nathan says that even though he doesn't like her, he wouldn't mind seeing Allie for snuggle purposes.
Yes.
Right. Gotta have that. But instead, Dana is going to win the snuggle purposes here.
Some good times are coming.
Yes. So Justin's going to come in the door, and Dana's face lights up again, like it always does when she sees Justin. And they're all so annoyed watching the tape, hearing Allison. Like, all three of them just can't even stand her talking. But poor Nathan, he's going to be kind of singled out by himself because he knows the lovebirds are going to be hanging out.
Yeah,
together.
Justin will be sleeping in Dana's room.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's what happens with them.
So then we head back to the vote, and we're going to have a live vote. Robert votes to evict Erica. June votes to evict Jack. Allie votes to evict Jack. So by a vote of 2-1, Jack, you are evicted from the Big Brother house. Erica goes up to him. She whispers, they threatened Allison. That's why she voted to keep me. That was the thing that she was going to tell Jack on her way out the door, which she knew it wouldn't be her way out the door. She knew it would be his way out the door, but she didn't want to let him know that it would be his way out the door.
Which also I feel like doesn't really make sense or track. Like, they threatened her to keep you, which is why she then flipped to seek out their threat.
Yeah, like, it also wasn't true. Like they didn't really threaten her, and it wasn't the reason she decided to go that way.
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. Not great.
Yeah.
Not great. I also feel like completely unnecessary from Erica, because it makes it seem like she was scheming against Jack a little bit, or at least was privy to some scheming.
Yeah, like Jack is, she's getting Jack's vote no matter what. Like,
yeah, I don't really know what the purpose is.
I mean, I think, you know, you could maybe say, okay, maybe she's dedicated to her final two. If you really want to give her credit here, if you can try to, maybe she's really dedicated to her final two with Allie, and she's trying to like extra sink Allie in the eyes of the jury, sending this message out with Jack. The reason that Allie flipped was because she was threatened, not because it was some strategic move. She was just acting out.
Think that necessarily helps Allie at all?
No, I'm saying it's not to help Allie. It's to sink her.
Oh, gotcha.
To make it even easier to beat her.
Even easier to beat her.
I don't think that was what Erica was thinking.
No, probably not.
You see Allie like apologizing to G and Robert, and Robert saying, "I get it. It's a good move."
Yeah, they all kind of say that it was the best move for her, and they kind of are reluctant there, but writing's kind of on the wall here about what's about to happen.
They say very different things on the feeds later that night.
Yes. But I think some of it's probably just also, we're going to see that they know what the HOH competition is probably going to be, and it's not going to be great for Robert. So in person, he probably needs to be being as nice as he can.
Yeah.
So Julie's going to talk with Jack here.
Yes. He says he only threw one competition, the corridor game. It was arranged ahead of time that he would throw it and he would stay.
Yeah, which we talked about at the time. I mean, that's a team competition, kind of needed to do that. Jack also says that his strategy was to lie low and be the grandfatherly figure to everyone, which, you know, honestly, worked pretty well for him. Like, he made it to the final six based purely on that.
Yeah. He also says he didn't go for this veto because he also thought he was going to stay.
Right. Yeah. And that's based on the reassurances he had been given by Robert and G. So that makes sense. The goodbye messages, I did not even write them down individually. Yeah. They were all some version of, you're nice, you're a father figure, sorry it was your time,
Robert,
I adore you.
Robert said Jack was his favorite opponent. G said, you played the game with professionalism and coolness, which coming from the international player, good compliment. And Erica says, you've been like a dad. He says he's enjoyed playing the game and he's off to the jury house.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Gets to hang out with Nathan. Cute little Nathan, Dana, and the other lovebird. Is that Justin?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so then we get to a pretty, I think you might call it iconic HOH competition here. That they've been removing things from the house. G and Robert start noticing that things are missing. They let Allie know and they say, don't tell anyone. And Allie, of course, immediately goes and tells Erica and June, who, by the way, on the feeds, then kept Robert and G from finding certain things. And they, in the HOH competition, the contrast here is astonishing. The women are giddy. They're like giggling to each other. They're, you know, even during the competition, they're just like, ha, 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 we just pulled that off. Like, we're so good. They're so screwed. And Robert is just crestfallen. He's just heartbroken. You can see he's just like, oh, he can't even tolerate it. And it's because you know how much he hates Erica and how much he hates June, and now how much he hates Allie, and they're all so happy and they're gonna take him down, and it's just it's such a moment.
And right before the competition, we see G and Robert talking, saying like, I think we have a leg up on them. No, you don't. And that the lack of confidence here went from seeing the three girls and knowing that Allison just betrayed him as well. I think it's going to put him a little bit off his game. Like, none of these questions were difficult at all. Most of them you could figure out even if you hadn't seen what was gone, just from the context clues of the questions. Like, this item usually marks the spot. You don't even need to know that an X is gone to know that that's the word here that's filling in the blank. So Robert does end up getting one of them right, but June and Erica mostly just really take this one.
Yes, Erica can't get the final question, which means June wins the HOH, and the women just celebrate together. They jump and hug, and Robert's just on the side just like, oh my God, what have I done? What has my life become? One of these women is going to beat me. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, Robert will be okay for a little bit, but yeah. Oh, well.
Well, Julie checks in and she lets them know the unexpected is not over yet. June, come to the diary room.
Yeah, and that is the last we see of her for a while.
Yeah, she's going to the MTV Music Video Awards. What?
What? That's cool. Yeah,
so
she's going to her
crazy.
Hometown.
Oh, man. MTV Music Video Awards.
I mean, I think you're mocking, but like... it would be kind of fun if you're in the house. Look, anything, any kind of prize, I think it was going to be fun.
Well, sure, for her, but why for us?
Because we get to see everyone else guess where she is.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't really. Yeah, I don't care. They had a, I don't know, some kind of partnership with MTV at this point. And they needed to do that. No one, I don't care. But she does she puts on the blindfold and walks out of the diary room. And I had kind of forgotten for a second, because Julie had pitched at the top of the show that another house guest was going to be leaving the house after this vote. And I was like, oh, shoot, really? We're going to do a
double eviction?
Double eviction? Like, that's, didn't see that one coming. But then I remembered, no, it's this move.
Yeah, here. And this was really like, you know, fool me once, fool me twice situation with the Turtles and the MTV Music Video Awards. Really trying to fool us with like, oh, extra people are going to get evicted.
Yeah, I mean, look, if this was the big week, that was the unexpected week. With the exception of the veto being played before the noms, none of this was that crazy. Like, it didn't really affect the strategy of the game that much.
It could have. If anybody but G had won that veto, it could have definitely thrown a wrench in things, but it didn't end up happening, which is kind of the story of Big Brother Twists in general.
Yep. So... anyway, just another downfall week for G and Robert by association. I love that they keep trying to get Erica out, and it just isn't happening for them.
Just can't get it to work. And that's what we have for week 7 of Big Brother 4.
Yeah. Okay. Can't wait till next week. Talk about the MTV Music Video Awards.
Yes. More. We're in the final stretch here. The final 5.
We are. Can someone just screenshot that picture of Jack wearing the hat? That's all I need. Oh gosh, final 5, get down to the end, getting to see more of this June versus Allison. It's kind of funny that you have these last several weeks of knowing that they are the least likely to win here, and then just seeing their path to the finish is fun.
Yeah, well, that's what we have for you this week. We'll be back next week with week 8 of Big Brother 4. Just getting toward the end here. But we're going to finish strong. It's going to be fun. And we're going to talk about everything.
Yeah.
So make sure you find us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong. Taryn. Mary is at Frail Mary. Let us know what you thought and, you know, all of that stuff. You can find me on Twitch as well. Twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. And Mary, anything else that you want to plug here?
No, nothing particular. I forgot about this though. Really big moment for me this week when they removed the creepy fake fish from the house.
Ah,
that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that nice screen. I wouldn't mind having just like a fishbowl that has some water and some plants in it and some, especially fake plants and some little marbles. That wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us and we will see you next time.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.